Hello everyone. Today I'd like to start our service by reading some really precious words to you. Now they're not words from scripture actually, but words from a hymn. This hymn talks about what it is I'd like us to ponder this morning. The hymn is called, "It Is Well With My Soul." And here are the first two verses. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Aren't those beautiful words? And church, you know, in this last year, if not before, let us all agree that every single one of us has been impacted by tragedy and trials. This is not just us as a church, but our community here, the Wyre Forest, the UK and the world. We've been in the grip of the pandemic unlike any that's been experienced in living memory. And whatever has happened to us individually, whether it has been our own illness or loneliness or depression, whatever, we have all, every one of us, experienced pain. We've all experienced the trials of life. You see, we live in a broken world. And because of that, we will all experience these things going on around us. In our text for this morning, we read about a father who is experiencing his own set of trials. In fact, it's a tragedy. Let's read together Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. It's titled, "Jesus Raises a Dead Girl and Heals a Sick Woman." When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, Jairus, he comes to Jesus with a broken heart. In the midst of his tragedy, he turns to Jesus. That day, you see, death had come to the house of Jairus for his 12-year-old daughter. Now, we're told that this man Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of prominence in the community. He was a man who had much. But at this moment, none of that stuff mattered one little bit. When Jairus spoke, people listened. When Jairus walked into a room, everyone would stand in recognition. But now he finds himself in a place where none of that matters. Sickness and death care nothing about who you are or what you possess or the position that you hold. I can assure you that Jairus in that moment would have traded everything he had for the power to change what was going on right now. Death had come to the house of Jairus, and it had come for his treasure, his little daughter. Folks, hell cares nothing about who you are and what you've done. When tragedy and death come calling, you'd better know the one who is greater than yourself. You'd better know for certain that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You'd better know the one who saves. You see, trials put life into perspective. Trials define us. They speak of the maturity of our faith. Do you know the name Jairus actually means he whom God enlightens? When we read through our text, as we've just done, did you see how this man of position, this man of authority and power, came to Jesus? The scripture tells us that he fell at his feet. In other words, this man of prominence humbled himself in the presence of the Lord of glory. Folks, in order to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, we too must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves. We must put pride into submission. Do you know one of the greatest truths that's found in Scripture is this? The way up is the way down. The way up is down. The way up is to empty yourself of self and allow Jesus to fill you anew. Jesus is clear, he's crystal clear. To be great in God's kingdom, you must be servant to all. You must be clothed in grace. When we come to the place where we see our own inability and his ability, then and only then are we in a position to receive fully from him. When Jairus came to Jesus, he fell down before him. And then he asked Jesus what he wanted. Mark 5:23 tells us, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her so that she may be made well and live." Church, what a statement of faith that is. Jesus, I know that if you just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will be well. Each one of us must come to that place in our lives where we know that while we can't, he can. And Jesus is moved by this man's faith and goes with Jairus to his house. How's your relationship with Jesus? Does your faith in him rise to that sort of level? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? If you are focused on the King of Kings, if you are focused on the Lord of Lords, then nothing, no trial, no circumstance, no situation, not even a pandemic, can bring your faith down. Jairus falls at the feet of Jesus and begs him to come and save his daughter. And the scripture simply states in verse 24, so Jesus went with him. You see, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And here we see him proving that. So how can we do any less? Jesus left this crowd of people by the lake to minister to a single person, Jairus. You see, in all that we read, Jesus was never too busy. Nor is he today. He's never too busy to respond to the needs of the individual. His public ministry of only 3 short years was constantly centered on the person, on the individual. A woman with an issue of blood, as we've already read about inside this story of Jairus and his daughter. A blind man by the side of the road. A troubled tax collector worried about his spiritual life. 2 sisters weeping over their dead brother. As you and I look around us, look at the needs of the world, of all 7 billion plus people, that can be a little overwhelming. We want to help, don't we? But we hardly know where to begin or how to stop, when to stop. The temptation then is to despair, to wring our hands and feel that anything we might do would be of little or of no significance. But I want to tell you this morning, that is not the truth. On the contrary, church, we must continue to reach out. To reach out to the hurt and the broken that God places in our lives. You see, where our ability individually and as a church and the world's needs intersect is where we are most needed and where we are called to be salt and light. I have a little story I'd like to share with you now to explain the principles of what I'm saying. I'm sure most of you will have heard it before. It still bears repeating. The author, Lauren Isley, would go to the seaside to do his writing. Now, he had a habit of walking along the beach before he began his work. Well, one day as he was walking along the seashore, he looked down the beach and saw a human figure moving like a dancer. And he smiled to himself at the thought of someone who would dance on the beach in this way. So he walked faster to try and catch up. Well, as he got closer, he noticed that the figure was that of a young lad and that he wasn't dancing at all. The youngster was reaching down, picking up some small objects off the beach and throwing them into the sea. He came closer still and called out, "Good morning. May I ask what it is you're doing?" The young man paused, looked up, and replied, "I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean." "I must ask then," said the author, "why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" The young man replied, "The sun is up, and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back into the sea, they will die." Upon hearing this, Isley commented, "But young man, don't you realise that there are miles and miles of beach and there are starfish all along every mile? You can't possibly make any difference at all." At this, the young man bent down, picked up yet another starfish and threw it into the sea. As it fell into the water, he said, "I made a difference to that one." Then he threw another and said, "And this one." Oh, church, we too are called to be like this young man, to be starfish throwers for Jesus. When those around us are hurting, when those around us are struggling, we are to show them grace, show them mercy, show them Jesus. We are to become starfish throwers. And when you yourself are experiencing pain, when you're experiencing trials, don't be afraid. Rise up in the power of Jesus and become a starfish thrower. You know, this is what Jesus told us when he shared this truth in Matthew 25, verse 40. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Back to our scripture, and things get worse for Jairus. Now we hear that his little girl is no longer sick. She has died. And at this tragic moment, it is interesting to see how faith reacts. Jairus has placed his faith in Jesus, and even in the face of death, his faith does not waver, even in the middle of such a tragedy. And Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. What a word of faith. Jesus is saying to him, don't believe what you hear. That's what we read in Mark 5:35. And he says, don't believe what you know. This is what we read in verses 38 to 39. And then he goes on to say, don't believe what you see. This is in verse 40. Instead, Jesus says, trust me. Believe in me. Jairus does. And this is what faith is saying to us today as well. Every instinct we have, every indicator we've seen may have been saying for the last year, this situation is hopeless. But faith looks to trust in our God. Trust in our God, who is greater than anything we can hear, greater than anything we can know, greater than anything we can see. Church, as we read on verses 39 to 40, we read that Jesus made all those who lacked faith leave the house where this little girl lay. They were excluded from seeing firsthand the power from on high that Jesus demonstrated. You see, faith believes the incredible. Faith sees the invisible, and faith receives the impossible. So where is your faith? If your faith rises to this, then you too will become a starfish thrower. And because you are a starfish thrower for Jesus, you will make a difference to that one and to this one. Folks, let's all be starfish throwers for Jesus. Starfish throwers for the kingdom. People who have real faith. You know, the last two verses of that hymn that we started with, It Is Well With My Soul, speak to those who are mature in the faith and seek to be Christ-like. They go like this. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. God promises that when trials come, that with him we will get through them. Not permanently stay remaining in them. Church, I have a message for each and every one of us today. Stay strong. Better times are coming. Church, it is my hope and my prayer that in the midst of every trial that we face, that in the midst of every tribulation we go through, in the depths of every nasty, horrible, worldly situation, we will know the presence of our Jesus with us. So that no matter what we face, you and I can still declare in faith, even so, it is well with my soul. And as our service now comes to an end, here's a blessing for us all. Father God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and love, your mercy and justice. We know that you are with us in everything we do. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts and our words and our actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives, that others may see you in us, and that we may become starfish throwers for the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.